Hey, everybody, what does this big ring balloon bring to mind? Maybe all the single ladies. Well, this is not a single life podcast, but it is all about commitment. So thanks for joining me today on this leadership podcast. I'm Charity Calstrip. I hope you're ready to have fun. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining me today on this leadership podcast. The title is Committed. You know, it's important as leaders that we're committed because we're leading those who are following us. And honestly, I want you to know that the most important person that you lead is obviously yourself. So it's important that you're committed, that you're modeling commitment, but then you understand how commitment actually works. And sometimes as leaders, we can be bothered because of our desire to see people grow. You know, I like that John said, in 3 John 4, that I have no greater joy than to see that my children are walking in the truth. You know, he's talking about those that he led and those that he was ministering to. You know, there is a certain element of fulfillment and success that we achieve when we see people take what they've been given and run with it. Now, obviously, our prosperity, our peace, our joy needs to be tied to our personal relationship with God and not the fruit of our ministry. But God wants us to be fruitful. And part of being fruitful as leaders is seeing the people that you lead be fruitful. You know, part of your success as a coach, whether you're in a, you know, intramural league or you're all the way at a professional level, part of your success is tied to the success of your team. And so I want to look at some of the things that we need to do, five things specifically that we need to do to defend our commitments, and then three things that we need to be committed to. And hopefully by you reinforcing these in your life, you'll be able to help reinforce them in the lives of those that you lead. I want to start by looking today at the madman of Gadara in Mark chapter 5. You know, because just like this ring represents a symbol of a commitment made between a man and a woman in marriage, there are things that we are to do in our relationship with God that symbolize or give witness to the commitment that we've made. And a lot of times what happens is we see people at the altar, or we ourselves embrace or embark on a journey of leadership or fulfilling God's plan for our life, and we only take that first step. You know, there's more steps that need to be taken. You know, even in a wedding, you know, there's so many different aspects of that, so many things that are done that symbolize that commitment or that seal that commitment. You know, there's certain things, again, five to be specific, that we want to look at today that will defend the commitment that you've made to the Lord, to your ministry. And really, it'll help us realize why people aren't moving forward. Maybe, and I think I wrote it this way in my notes. Let me find it. Maybe you are having trouble following because you haven't truly committed. You know, maybe there are people in your ministries from the youngest to the oldest that aren't really following because they haven't really truly committed. They didn't really know what that actually looked like. So let's start with this madman of Gadara in Mark 5, verse 1. It says, when they arrived at the other side of the lake, a demon-possessed man ran out from a graveyard just as Jesus was climbing from the boat. This man lived among the gravestones and had such strength that whenever he was put into handcuffs and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the handcuffs from his wrists and smashed the shackles and walked away. No one was strong enough to control him. All day long and through the night, he would wander among the tombs and in the wild hills, screaming and cutting himself with sharp pieces of stone. When Jesus was still far off on the water, the man had seen him and had run to meet him and fell down before him. Then Jesus spoke to the demon within the man and said, "Come out, you evil spirit." It gave him a terrible scream, shrieking, "What are you going to do to me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? For God's sake, don't torture me." "What's your name?" Jesus asked. And the demon replied, "Legion, for there are many of us within this man." Then the demons begged him again and again not to send them into some distant land. Now, as it happened, there was a huge herd of hogs rooting on the hillside above the lake. "Send us into those hogs," the demons begged. And Jesus gave permission. Then the evil spirits came out of the man and entered the hogs, and the entire herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned. The herdsmen fled to the nearby towns and countryside, spreading the news as they ran. Everyone rushed out to see for themselves, and a large crowd soon gathered where Jesus was. But as they saw the man sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, they were frightened. Those who saw what happened were telling everyone about it, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. So he took So he got back into the boat, and the man who had been possessed by the demons begged Jesus to let him go along. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your friends," he told him, "and tell them what wonderful things God has done for you, how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to tell everyone about the great things Jesus had done for him. And they were awestruck by his story. So there are decisions you make to defend and protect your commitments or your freedom. Ultimately, when this man received deliverance from devils, Jesus had a very specific next step for him. He wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to join Jesus. And the thought would be, yeah, that's a great idea. He can join himself to Jesus's ministry, but that was not his next step. His next step, like many of our next step, needs to be, number one, repent. Make a public declaration, meaning vocalize what has happened. You know, so many people quietly pray. They come into altars and they have these private moments, even if it's in a church setting, and they don't leave and tell their family and friends. They don't let everybody know in their world of influence, whether it's through social or at work or whatever. Hey, something happened on Sunday. I received my healing. I made Jesus the Lord of my life. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I joined a church. You have to say it. The first thing that you have to do after having an encounter is to speak it, to vocalize it, to say it out loud. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That word repent means to change one's mind for the better with an abhorrence of one's past self. So what you're actually doing is you're not just having this moment and then going back to life as usual. No, you're saying, hey, something happened. Repent is like to go in a completely different direction. So you can't just have these moments in a service. You just can't have these moments in a prayer group or whatever. If you're going to fully be able to commit, you have to say that. Like, you have to go back. And that's what Jesus was saying to this man. Listen, you need to go back to all your homies. You need to go back to town and let all your family, let all your friends know something has changed. You are not the person that you used to be. So we as leaders, we have to say it. You know, when Jesus first started out in his ministry in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, what did he do? He stood up in his own hometown and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." It was in that day that he went from being the carpenter's son and probably just a carpenter to being in the ministry. He had to stand up and own it. He had to declare, "I am this. I am a Christian. I am a pastor. I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus. I am a partner with this church. I am Spirit-filled." Like, you have to say it. You have to vocalize, "Hey, I was going in this direction, but now I've repented and I'm going in this direction." So number one, you have to declare it. You have to make a public declaration. Number two, you have to forsake. So in moving this way, it's like if I say I'm going to Wendy's, I have forsaken all other restaurants. I have now determined I'm going this direction. A lot of people struggle in their commitment to the things of God, their relationship with God, their relationship to church. They may be struggling in their commitments at work. What do you do at the altar? What do you do? Let me grab my ring here. What do you do when you make your vows to that spouse? You say, "I choose to love you, forsaking all others." Like, I'm not looking, my eyes, I only have eyes for you. Like, that's forsaking everything else. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them." See, some people struggle with commitments because they don't walk away from stuff. Like, once you've had an encounter, once you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, once you've taken on a new position at work, once you're married, whatever, when you've entered into a commitment, you have to defend that commitment. So now you have this job, you've got to rearrange your private schedule. You're probably not only getting to work at a different time, but your mentality before you get to work has to be different. If you're a manager now, if you're a leader, you think differently. You know, when you're a pastor of a church, you think differently. You're not just showing up at church anymore. Now you're in a leadership role, if you're serving or whatever. So in accepting something new, you've had to let go of something else. So many people don't. You know, when Pastors Dean and Kathy had an encounter with God, my parents, and they determined to move forward in their relationship with him, not in the ministry, but in their relationship with him. Nobody had to tell them to pour out the alcohol. Nobody had to tell them to stop smoking. Nobody had to tell them to start coming to church on Sundays. They just knew, okay, if we're going to move forward into this, we're going to have to walk away from this. So you have to know as a leader, you're going to have to walk away from stuff. Your schedule's not going to be like it used to be before you were a leader. And the people that you're leading, in order for them to continue to move forward in the plans and the purposes that God has for them, they're going to have to forsake certain things that stand in the way of that commitment. Number three, go and sin no more. There's an activity, there's a forward motion into something new and away from something old. And Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He talks about now living a spirit-led life where you obey the Holy Spirit's instructions so you don't keep doing the natural, nasty, carnal things that your flesh used to do. Some people have these incredible encounters with God. They don't talk about it. They still go home and have the same drinks, have the same media, have the same friends, have the same adulterous relationship, have the same fornication. And then on top of that, they don't do anything different. They don't get involved in church. They don't change their schedule. They don't take steps to grow in their relationship with God. They don't pick up a Bible and start reading it. They have this moment at an altar and everything felt good, or they have this new opportunity and they don't move forward. You have to go in it. Like, think about the woman that was caught in adultery in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. She has this incredible encounter. She's to be stoned according to the law, but Jesus forgives her. And what does he tell her? Go and sin no more. So after this incredible encounter, after a time in the altar, salvation experience, healing, or whatever, you've got to move into that. You've got to grow into that. And growing into him is growing away. And it may not be necessarily sinful things. It may just be growing away from leisure, from pleasures, from things that occupy your time that take you away from that commitment. You know, if you moved from a part-time employee to a full-time employee, you had to change your schedule. You had to put in more hours. Well, as you encounter the presence of God and the power of God in your life, you're going to have to put in time behind closed doors, reading the word, studying. You get a promotion at work. You know, so many people have that moment where they're accepted on the team. Now they're a leader and they don't do anything differently behind closed doors. They don't continue to grow themselves into that commitment that they've just been given. And so what happens? Honestly, before long, they lose it. So number one, you have to make a public declaration. Number two, you have to forsake. Number three, you have to go. There's a movement. You're moving forward. Number four, you have to continue. You can't let the new wear off. And so many people do that. They get bored so easily. And when the feelings go away, they stop putting in a wholehearted effort. They get lazy. They start cutting corners. Well, we can't do that in our relationship with God. So as leaders, we have to be steadfast. We have to continue stirring ourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost, building ourselves up. And then we have to encourage the people that we lead. Hey, don't get weary in well-doing. Keep continuing. And a big part of continuing is the joy of the Lord, because that's your strength. So it's important that in your commitments that you're laughing, that you're having fun, that you're not taking yourself too seriously. And Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47, Peter preached a long sermon telling about Jesus and strongly urging all of his listeners to save themselves from the evils of their nation. And those who believed Peter were baptized, about 3,000 in all. Now, I didn't put that on here as one of the five things that you need to do to defend your commitment, but these are important. Once you're saved, you've got to get filled with the Holy Spirit and you've got to be water baptized. But notice, after this encounter, what did the people do? Verse 42 says they joined with other believers in regular attendance at the apostles' teaching sessions and at the communion services and at prayer meetings. So they were faithful to all of it. The church services, the prayer meetings, the special conferences, the special events. If you don't continue steadfastly, whatever it is that you've committed to, you'll quickly let go of. You'll release. You know, that's why there's all of these things that we do. We sign a marriage license. We exchange rings. We exchange vows. We have special celebrations to defend or to symbolize, to embed this decision, this commitment into our being. Well, we have to do that as the people of God. You can't just make Jesus the Lord of your life. life and be filled with the Holy Spirit and not continue steadfastly in regular attendance. And you might say, well, I watch online. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing to watch online, because online you're by yourself. Online, there's no accountability. Now, you can train online, you can learn online, you can listen to great teaching online, but that doesn't exempt you from the responsibility to be in relationship and to be connected with like-minded believers. And this is why so many people don't go all the way with God. They don't maintain their commitments to God. They don't maintain. And listen, guys, here's the thing. If you don't maintain your commitment to God, you're not going to maintain your commitments anywhere else. So just know, when marriages fall apart, when people aren't where they're supposed to be in their employment and their kids are running everywhere, when you don't defend and maintain the commitment that you have to the Father, there's a ripple effect. It causes problems everywhere else. And so a deep sense of awe was on them all, and the apostles did many miracles, and all the believers met together constantly. They met together constantly. They met together constantly. So many people that we lead, they don't maintain their commitments. Why? Because they don't walk away from old friendships. They don't walk away from that old schedule, being in the bowling league, getting high on Friday night, whatever it is that they were involved in. We want to encourage them as leaders. And then we as leaders have to understand how important it is to continue steadfast. So you can't be a lazy leader at your church. You've got to make things available. You've got to continue to encourage people to continue in relationship, whether it's in the church or it's outside of the church. Make things available for people to come together around the Word of God. Not just the Word of God, but let that be the primary focus, and then other social things. They need to be together. This is part of them defending and maintaining their commitments. Number five, you have to keep walking away. You know, the further that you go in your relationship with God, the more you have to let go of. And I'm always reminded, and I use this story in youth ministry a lot. It's not a story, but it's real life. Michael Phelps, when he was training for the Olympics and he wanted the gold, like he wanted to go all the way. He was doing, for 5 years, 365. So he worked out every single day, swimming twice and gym once. Every single day, Christmas, birthday, Thanksgiving. Because he knew, if I take one day off, it's going to take me 2 days to make up for it. So when he was gunning for gold, he put himself in the best shape of his life because he had his eye on the prize. And what is 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27? Like, we got to keep our body under so that we run our race to win, so that we're not disqualified. So the longer that you stay, you know, what happens, and I've noticed in church leadership, you know, watching people over the years, they'll be really excited. They'll be all in. They'll be doing all of these things, faithfully attending, and then they'll start to get comfortable. They'll start to get complacent in their faith. And now they're not coming to the midweek service, or now they're not doing discipleship, or just different things. They gradually pull away. And that's a problem, because the further you go, the sloppier you get. No, it doesn't work like that. The further you go, the more, like, if you want to continue in physical fitness, the way that you started isn't the way that you end up. If you keep working out at the same level that you did in high school, you're still running the same amount. Like, you're not getting better, basically. So you have to keep walking away. And all of the things that you've accomplished, you know, and I've seen that. I've seen people in churches, you know, from the youngest to the oldest, they've gotten freedom in this area of their life, freedom in this area of their life, and in this area of their life, and they just try to put things in neutral. There is no neutral in the kingdom. It is always forward. It is always acceleration. And what happens is, the moment you put it in neutral, it's only a matter of time and you're putting it in reverse, because it doesn't work that way. So the rich young ruler is the best story of this, because the best example. In Mark 10, verse 17, as he was starting out on a trip, a man came running to him and knelt down and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to get to heaven?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only one is truly good. But as for your question, you know the commandments. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, respect your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've never once broken a single one of those laws." Jesus felt genuine love for this man and looked at him and he said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have, give your money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Then the man's face fell and he went away sadly, because he was very rich. Now, this is really interesting, because of all the things that this man could have been corrected for, he was making progress. He only had one thing. And see, this really speaks to believers who have been in relationship with God, and maybe relationship with the church, and maybe even just volunteer leadership for a while. There's progress has been made, but they stopped walking away. And when I see people who stop walking away, who stop taking that next step, and it's sometimes it's the little things that you need to shave off. You know, you've accomplished victory over some big things, but then it's like little things, little fears, little greed, little covetousness, whatever it is that you hold on to, or selfishness or selfish ambition or whatever it might be, pride. And I've watched people literally not, you have to keep walking away. Every single day, you have to have the attitude as a leader and as a committed follower of the Lord Jesus, not my will. Every single day, not my will, your will be done. Otherwise, this is a thing that can happen. And this is Hebrews chapter 4. I believe it's 4. Actually, you know what? It's... Let me look it up, because it's not either of the places that I think it is, but I'm so grateful for Google. And I used this verse recently in a teaching, because Paul basically said, you know what, at this point you should be teachers, but you're not there yet. And see, that's the thing, you know, in our churches, there should be such growth in it. Hebrews 5:12. I was there. What happened? Oh, I was in verse 2 instead of 12. Hebrews 5:12. I was... thinking different. I was thinking right, but I was moving wrong. Hebrews 5 verse 12. Let me read it and then I'll finish what I just started saying. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others, but instead you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. It's like whatever ground you had, you lose it when you don't keep moving forward, when you don't keep walking away. And I've seen people, again, they've made commitments, they've started, they've experienced some success, they've experienced some freedom in the word and in the spirit of God. But then as more things came up, as they had opportunities to refine themselves even more through the washing of the water of the word and the presence of the Holy Ghost, and he kept calling them further and calling them onward, they started screening the calls, like deny, deny, deny. They didn't want to keep moving. They had gone as far as they wanted to go, like that rich young ruler. And what happened? He ended up walking away, and that's what they end up doing. So it's important that we reinforce these five things within ourselves, and then we train our people. Once they've made Jesus the Lord of their life, okay, this is what it's going to take. You're going to have to let somebody know. You need to call all the homies. You need to tell them, hey, we're not hanging anymore. Something has happened to me. How many believers have had an incredible encounter, but then less than 48 hours, they're back in the same situation that Jesus just delivered them out of? Why? Because they didn't call all the homies, post it everywhere, send a video, let it go viral. You got to let everybody know. There has to be a public declaration. And then you yourself, when you sense the Spirit of God is moving you into something greater, you got to say that. When you as an individual know, hey, I need to take my next step in leadership in my church, you got to vocalize that. You got to vocalize that. If you at work got a promotion, you got to tell your family, hey, I got a promotion at work. This isn't just about more money, but this is about a greater commitment. So we're all going to have to work together. I'm going to be getting up earlier. I'm going to be praying in the Holy Spirit for 15 minutes before work, because now I'm a manager. Anything you don't protect, anything you don't defend, you're going to lose. And so you have to protect these commitments. You have to let people know. You have to communicate. You have to make a public declaration. You have to forsake. You have to realize, okay, this is going to cost me something. It's going to cost me something. I'm going to have to deny myself in order to follow the Lord Jesus. So, and again, whatever I give up is nothing compared to what I gain, but I'm going to have to walk away from some stuff. I'm going to have to move. I can't just be like, this great encounter. I love the Lord so much. I actually have to do something. It's going to turn into activity and action in my life. And I'm going to have to stick with it. Like none of this, you know, every sixth Sunday I show up. No, I'm faithful. I'm there. Like that is what I do. Church is not like what I do. Church is who I am. Like I am part of the body. Jesus is my head now. And I find myself taking an active place in the body. My finances are in the body. My presence is in the body. My gifts are in the body. You can't separate me from my church. That's how it should be. Because if Jesus is your head and you're submitted to his plan, which is that you would be connected in a local church, according to 1 Corinthians 12, when people see you, they should see your church. They should know there's a commitment there, right? That's the biblical thing. I'm not saying that because I'm a church leader. I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor or because I'm a pastor's kid. I'm saying that because that's in the Bible. So you're going to have to reinforce in people. They're going to have to continue steadfastly, and they're going to have to keep walking away. Keep walking away. So What are the three things that they stay committed to? Number one, the word. Keep building your life on the word. Luke 6, 46 through 49 talks about two builders, a wise builder and a foolish builder. One builder built his house on the rock. One builder built his house on the sand. What happened? When the storms came, the man and woman who had built their house on the rock of the word of God, on the revelation of the word of God, it stood the test of time. The one who didn't, everything went to total chaos. Everything went to ruin. So we encourage people, you got to stay committed to God's word. That means hearing God's word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Guys, just because I had lunch yesterday doesn't mean I'm not going to have lunch today, right? Just because I read the word of God or I heard the word of God last week doesn't. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says that our outward man is daily like being like ruined, whatever, but our inward man is being renewed day by day. The outward man may perish, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. So this is day by day. So you yourself as a leader, you got to stay tuned into the word of God, listening to faith-filled messages. Well, I'm a leader. I'm writing messages. Yeah, you're writing messages, but you need to be feeding on messages for yourself. What you're writing is for the people. What you're feeding on is for you. So you have to stay committed to the word yourself, committed to that time in the Lord. And then you have to communicate with your people, and you have to help them. You have to show them how to do that. Give them tools, make things available for them so that they stay connected to the word every single day. Number two, they've got to be committed to faith. So they've got to be committed to the word, and they've got to be committed to faith. Listen to these verses in Hebrews 4:1-3. It says, although God's promise still stands, his promise that all may be enter into his rest, we ought to tremble with fear, because some of you may be on the verge of failing to get there after all. For this wonderful news, the message that God wants to save us, has been given to us just as it was to those who believed in the time of Moses. But it didn't do them any good because they didn't believe it. They didn't mix it with faith. For only we who believe God can enter to this place of rest, which is a place of victory. Guys, you have to tell people, hey, you can't just keep hearing faith. You have to actually live by faith. You have to actually start taking steps. You have to tithe. You have to give. You have to speak God's word over your family. You've got to speak God's word over your health, over your business. You have to actually use your faith, or it just becomes mental assent. And what happens? People don't take ground. They don't make progress. People in your church shouldn't be in the same place. Those that follow the Lord Jesus shouldn't be in the same place this year that they were last year. There's always more. There's always increasing. The Bible says in Psalms 115, I believe, 16 or something, that he increases us more and more. There's always more. So when you're truly following him, Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. So you know in your own life, and you know in the life of those that you lead, where religion has crept in, where they're not mixing this with faith anymore, that they're coming in, they're content to smile, they're content to worship, they're content to hear, but they're not taking ground. We got to stay committed to the word. We've got to stay committed to faith. Like, Holy Ghost, I know I believe there's more. I know you've revealed that to me, so let's take it. Show me what to do. Show me how to go after the more. And number three, we need to be committed to his church. In Hebrews 10:24-25, in response to all he has done for us, let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind and in being good. Let us not neglect our church meetings as some do. Guys, I don't care what it is. Nothing is more important. If your kids are going to play sports and be involved in a couple things, they need to be involved in a couple things, but not at the expense of church or the ground that you receive. Guys, those events aren't going to sustain your marriage. They're not going to sustain you financially. They're not going to help you overcome addiction and live a life of peace and live a life free of fear. They're not going to do it. So you have to keep the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing? There's not enough money in the world. If there was enough money, Steve Jobs would still be alive. There's not enough money in the world to protect your life, to sustain your life. What does that mean? Nothing is more important than your commitments to God, your commitment to the word, your commitment to faith, and your commitment to his house. Don't neglect the church meetings. but encourage and warn each other. So you need to be warned as a pastor, as a leader, that you're going to be busy. You're going to be busy in this hour before we see the Lord Jesus. You're going to make as many things available for your families, for children, for teenagers, for adults in your church. Don't get lazy. Don't phone it in. Don't do the bare minimum. Challenge yourself to do more. And then for those of you that are following, you have to determine, I'm going to take advantage of everything that's available to me. Encourage your people to be in such commitment, in a wholehearted commitment to the word, to faith, and to church. Because we don't want to just see people converted. We don't want to just see people make Jesus the Lord of their life and have these incredible encounters in church and not continue. Guys, you want to move forward. You don't go to the altar and then go back to your mom's house, right? You move forward. You defend that commitment. So we've got to teach people, because these are spiritual commitments. They're not necessarily moving addresses like you do when you get married. We got to teach them what it looks like. So again, they've got to go public with this. They've got to forsake whatever they used to be involved in. They've got to go. They've got to actually go. Their life is going to look different. It's going to have different activity, right? They're going to have to continue steadfastly, like you can't get weary in well-doing, and keep walking away. Like, let your life be more focused. Let your life, like, let there be nothing that keeps you, like, just like a runner, they're shaving seconds off of their time. They're perfecting. They're hitting that ball even faster, even harder. They're throwing it even faster. If they're a pitcher, they're hitting it even harder. Why? Because they know that the difference between success and failure can just be seconds. As believers, it's the same thing. The enemy is looking for just a little way, he's roaming about seeking who he can devour. And so if that rich young ruler had just realized, okay, Jesus is telling me to sell everything that I have, not because he wants me to be poor, not because there is such a thing as a vow of poverty. If so, why would Jesus have redeemed us from the curse, which was poverty, sickness, and death? No, he told me this because this is a little crack in my earth's surface where the enemy could come in through greed and covetousness. And if I'll do this, I'll shut the door on it, right? That's why the Spirit of God convicts you. That's why your pastors are encouraging you, because they don't want the enemy. What did Jesus say? He has nothing in me. Guys, the enemy will have something in you if you don't keep walking away, if you don't keep pursuing spiritual maturity. And you got to let your people know. You got to let the people that you lead, hey, your job is to grow up, to not just always need a teacher, but at one point to be a teacher. And then you have to facilitate outlets within your church where people can lead other people, not where everybody's on staff as a pastor, but where people are helping other people and they're leading other people. And you can do it. You can do it. If you understand commitment and you understand what you're to be committed to, the Spirit of God will help you make sure that that's real and coming through your leadership into the lives of the people that you follow. So guys, let's stay committed. Let's stay committed to the one who fully committed to us. I love you guys. Thanks for joining me today. I'll see you next time.